The opinions expressed on this webmasterradio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of webmasterradio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of webmasterradio.fm is prohibited.
Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better? It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Byron White. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Byron White here from Life Tips. I'm just interviewing Dee Dee Cummings, the author of Living with Crohn's and Colitis. I will pronounce that right, I promise. Dee Dee, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Dee Dee, you're diagnosed with Crohn's disease. I want you to talk with us a little bit about that disease, how it affected your life, and how it inspired you to write the book.
Okay. Well, that's a lot.
In 30 seconds or less.
Well, Byron, I was diagnosed around 2000, but I probably had Crohn's disease in college, but I didn't know I had it. And it masquerades as lots of other diseases. It's a lower abdominal condition that affects the small intestine as opposed to the large intestine. Which is where you see the colitis problems. But Crohn's is very specific, and it's a really tough disease because there's no cure. And it's an autoimmune disease, which means that the organ basically destroys itself. So in my case, I was diagnosed, and it really changed my life. I was a business owner, three young kids. We were building our new house, and I got very, very sick and had to go into the hospital. I was dehydrated and had severe cramping and real problems. And they diagnosed me. So that was in 2001. I had an official diagnosis, but I first became sick periodically through the 90s. So you'd get sick and think, oh, well, I must have a stomach flu, and then I'd sort of go back to my bad habits, which we can talk about later. So that's been my life now, and it really did change my life. But happily now, I'm very, very healthy, and I've written a book that will hopefully help other people.
I want to learn a little bit about what you went through in the 90s and how you may have not caught what is really, it sounds like a life-changing disease and problem. Mm-hmm. Tell us what some of the early symptoms were.
Yes. Okay. The early symptoms are categorized as IBS, which stands for irritable bowel syndrome, I believe. But this is a relatively mild and treatable form of potentially, they may or may not be related. Now, Crohn's disease is what they call an idiopathic disease. There is no known cause and really no known cure. I mean, there are drugs that you can take to really keep the disease at bay, and there are many different classes of drugs that help. But back in the 90s, I mean, I think that it was still a relatively new field. When you research Crohn's disease, it really was only named in 1935, or I guess it was 1932, and a Dr. Crohn was on the study, so they kept his name. So in the 1990s, I didn't really know what was the matter with me. I did have a doctor, my GP, my general practitioner. He said, well, you have irritable bowel syndrome. But he didn't really, he just said, you've got this. And it does tend to run in my family. I don't carry a gene for this. However, my father's side of the family had colon cancer, so I was a little nervous. But again, in the 90s, I was busy, I had three young children, and I frankly didn't take very good care of myself. I was not a heavy smoker, but I smoked cigarettes, I got no exercise, I ate very poorly. I was really focused on caring for my family and my three young children, and unfortunately, I didn't take very good care of myself. For example, I didn't get enough sleep. I was always being woken up, and so sleep is so restorative and curative, now I've learned. I didn't drink water. I didn't exercise. My diet was okay. It wasn't great. I sometimes would skip meals, and you know, now I eat every, you know, 3 hours or so, small, frequent meals. But I've learned so much. I mean, I went to the doctor and I complained of severe abdominal cramping, so they did ovarian surgery.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and luckily, nothing, you know, they went, it was laparoscopic, and but they said, well, you're okay. And then they didn't really, then they often they think it's appendicitis.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point they thought maybe I had a a kidney stone, because that's how severe the cramping was. I mean, I would literally double over, and it's also a very lonely disease. You know, it's debilitating, but it's also lonely. And I just wasn't really taking care of myself. I had no idea what my blood work was. You know, I didn't go to the doctor because I was, you know, again, very busy. So I think that a message I want to impart is for really people to slow down and take care of themselves more and eat well and get lots of rest. And I think that that's very important. And I neglected that.
So can we go over the checklist of the symptoms just so we can, you know, have a nice list to begin early stage diagnosis?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned cramping, you know, can you give us some other symptoms?
Well, you know, the main symptom is diarrhea, that goes along with the cramping. The symptoms are really, they're very tough symptoms because it means you can be limited in what you can do, and travel, for example, is really hard when you're sick. So diarrhea, vomiting, cramping, often there's blood in the stool, and sometimes all of these symptoms happen at once. When the disease, I mean, the early irritable bowel syndrome is much more benign and treatable and manageable. And that could just be, something doesn't agree with you, and a combination of stress and eating something and, you know, not taking care of yourself can result in, you know, a short period of discomfort, say, 24-hour bug diarrhea, perhaps, or some cramping. And in my case, I think that's probably how things developed. And the balance of the flora and the fauna, the good and the bad bacteria in the gut, in the intestine, needs to be in balance. And if it's thrown out of balance, sometimes, like for example, you hear about people getting salmonella or E. coli. I'm really interested in this bacterial link to bowel disease. I think there is a very strong link there. So, you know, I think people have to be careful about where the food sources and the freshness of food, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Our diets are, in this country, sadly, I think things are changing, but I do think that fast food and heavily processed food and foods that are high in sodium, these are just not healthy long term. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, sugar, for example, trisaccharides, table sugar, they're very hard to digest, you know. And I think that people need to become educated on diet and learn how to really listen to their own bodies.
After the break, we're going to talk about some tips, but I just want you to try to distinguish between these two diseases, colitis and Crohn's disease. Could you tell us a little bit about the difference of the two and and what symptoms there might be and how they differ?
Mm-hmm.
Or
Crohn's
treatment.
Crohn's disease, well, the both ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease involve the intestines. Ulcerative colitis, and they both both diseases involve or have symptoms of cramping, diarrhea, and vomiting, and blood in the bowel movement, and irregular bowel movements. In some cases, there's a lack of motility or movement of the bowel. In my case, that was caused by scarring, and cramping was the main symptom there. In other cases, there's too much motility or movement, and that is categorized by the diarrhea. And people who have ulcerative colitis are more prone to diarrhea. And sometimes they have to go to the bathroom, 40 times a day, and it's really hard. And you start to get run down. when you have Crohn's disease, it's primarily the small intestine that is affected, and ulcerative. But Crohn's disease can appear anywhere from the anus to the throat, or, you know, so it can really strike anywhere along the digestive tract. Ulcerative colitis is predominantly in the large colon, and it is curable, and you may wonder how it is curable. What they do is they remove the large intestine, and they connect the stomach and the small intestine to a pouch. And most often you hear people with an ostomy, and they have an external pouch. Some people have something called a J pouch, which is created by the surgeon inside, you know, internally, just really remarkable what they're doing now. So if that's a good way to differentiate small versus large intestine, and ulcerative colitis, they remove the large intestine if it can't be cured, if it's not treatable with medication, they will just take it out, and it usually puts the person in remission, though their quality of life is somewhat compromised because they don't have the large intestine, and they often have either an ostomy bag, internal or external. And that's hard to live with, but a lot of people do very well, and they're making improvements all the time. And Crohn's disease, again, is not curable, though there can be periods of remission, as in my case. And Crohn's disease often is categorized by scarring. Like, for example, Byron, a tube, say you're thinking of like plumbing, literally, you know, the pipe is open and, you know, water, whatever fluid goes through. When you have Crohn's disease, the narrowing of that intestine occurs, and it's really hard for the passage of food and waste to move. So Crohn's disease is most often categorized with scarring and narrowing of the small intestine, also called the ileum. And the terminal ileum is where my disease was focused. And that's like the main place that they look for Crohn's disease, is that little sector of the end of the small intestine.
How many people are diagnosed with either of these two diseases a year? Do you have an idea for that?
Yeah. When I was researching for my book that I co-authored with a naturopathic doctor, Jessica Black, we found through the CDC, the Center for Disease Control down in Atlanta, the figure was about 1.5 million people in the United States alone are afflicted with inflammatory bowel disease, and that includes Crohn's and colitis. But there are other diseases like...
And are some of those early detection where there is treatment available?
Yes. I really wish I knew what I know now back in the 90s when I was in my 30s. I would, you know, I know so much more now. And I think that it's really important, for example, you know, the First Lady is educating the public about obesity and diet. And I think it's really important for people to learn about diet and you know how you know your health can be affected by you know by what you eat and the lifestyle that you lead. So, and also there are some really wonderful both naturopathic and you know Western medicine drugs that can be used to really help people. There are main, you often hear about Remicade and 6M purinethol. Those are two main drugs that are used to treat extreme symptoms of Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. And those drugs, what they do is they suppress the entire, you know, the immune system to keep the body in a very, it's hard for me to describe because I'm not a doctor, but it really suppresses the immune system so that there won't be a flare-up. You're not as prone to that white blood cell rushing to the site of an infection and causing, you know, an imbalance in the body. What it does is drugs suppress everything. Is that clear?
It does. I have some questions about that regarding, you know, general pH body balance and how that might have an effect on you know, this whole digestive process.
Yeah. Well, that would lead. So we have the Western medicine drugs that are very effective, and nowadays they're almost you could almost call them designer drugs because they are matching symptoms and types of inflammatory bowel disease to specific drugs. There are biologic drugs. There are drugs that really, there are different classes of drugs. In my case, I am really thankful that I'm working with a naturopathic doctor and I'm using supplements and body balance, the pH balance in my body. I'm also taking probiotics, which are live culture, lactobacillus and acidophilus. So they're sort of live bacteria. I'm taking, they're beneficial bacteria. So I take that every night. And I also take digestive supplements to balance my body. So I'm working on the naturopathic side of things, but I also embrace the Western medicine side by frequent checkups with the inflammatory bowel disease clinic at Dartmouth Hitchcock. I go to a wonderful hospital for my clinic work. So I'm doing both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important to maintain what's called homeostasis within the body. And mm-hmm. that includes your pH balance. Like in the morning, I like to have water and lemon juice. You know, it's neutralizing. It's very healthy. I also have a very strict diet that I follow. And I take really good care of myself by getting a lot of rest. I keep a food journal. Not so much anymore because I'm in remission, but that was one of the first things I did to really help figure out what was going on with me. Then I'd say, oh, I can't eat mushrooms. So I would avoid mushrooms and my symptoms were better, you know.
And were you monitoring, again, was it lack of movement of the bowels? Was that the problem?
Yes. In my case, perhaps it could have maybe been, I might have been in remission longer. I might have been healthier longer, but I had a lack of movement. So I had a lot of cramping. In some cases, Byron, it was so severe that I couldn't drive my kids. I'd be going to pick up my children at school and I'd have to pull over on the side of the road. And
yeah,
it's really tough.
Was it affecting your equilibrium at all? Were you ever dizzy or,
Yes. Oh,
really?
Yes. You know, in my support group, I'm in a couple of online support groups that are wonderful. One of my favorite is I Have Ulcerative, it's called ihaveuc.com. And mm-hmm. you can write in I wrote in at one point, someone was talking about symptoms and I said, oh, I remember, lying on the bathroom floor. I mean, it's really hard. And I'm very upbeat now and very healthy and people can't believe it because when I was really sick, I didn't weigh much at all. I mean, I was dangerously thin and now I weigh a healthy, 140 pounds. I'm about 5'9". But, in the hospital, I weighed 117. And that's just not okay. And so I think being as sick as I was, I really experienced, I really hit the bottom. And I can identify with people because of that.
I want to understand that. And excuse my ignorance on this issue, but it's an interesting one. And I'm just going to keep going at it. But sure. So again, the lack of bowel movement, you think that your body is not purging, you're
yes.
you're clogged, right? Would that you think you would gain weight in that situation, not necessarily lose weight?
Well, I'm convinced that I wasn't getting enough fiber in my diet. Mm.
Yeah.
I also had an intestinal bug, if you will. I caught a bug from bad water called Giardia. These are very common digestive bacteria that usually if there's a presence of waste in the water, it's like E. coli, but mm-hmm. it's called Giardia. So I had that in 1991, and I really think my symptoms started, I think it threw everything out of balance. And my doctors, who are very conservative, and they're members of the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation, which is my main club. I've got to pitch it. It's a wonderful foundation. But,
what's the website?
CCFA.org. And that's where all the research in the world is being done for these diseases, right through that website. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. But they're very, it's definitely the diet studies and the body balance and stuff. I mean, there's not a lot of funding for that because it's so... amorphous. You can't really do empirical studies on diet. It's just they don't exist. So the doctors are somewhat skeptical. Like I used to tell them, oh, stress is a precursor of my disease. I could see if I have stress, then a few days later, say if I had a stressful work period, where I was working, you know, in some cases, sometimes I would work 10, 12 hours a day and lose sleep. And then sure enough, on the weekend, it was usually on the weekend, I'd be lying in bed all weekend throwing up. So the lack of, getting back to the symptom, the main symptom for me was cramping. And I would almost, in some cases, liken it to labor pains. Labor, it's really tough cramping. And it, you can almost feel like a hardening of the, of course, now I know where my disease was located, but it was almost like a, you could feel just an area of tightening in the lower right quadrant of my abdominal area. And that's, in fact, that was where, that's what they had to remove. I mean, they took out a couple of feet of both my small and large intestine when I eventually had to have surgery. It was so bad. So now I take fiber every single night. I use ground up organic flax, and I mix it with water, and I mix a little powder, the probiotic powder, in with it, and I drink it every night, and I swear by this. It's so good because the added flax gives fiber to my small intestine, which encourages movement. Now, if you eat a lot of fruit and vegetables and salad and fibrous food really regularly, and you're very careful, you can really maintain that you know, stasis within the bowel and movement. Along the lining of the bowel, there are these little, I think they're called fili, I don't know how to pronounce it, but they're these little tendrils. They're almost like finger, they wave, they're sort of, imagine like under the ocean, you know, they're sort of like, that's what it makes me think of. And that helps to sort of move food through, you know, through the bowel. And if it's not moving properly, this is where, you know, there can be, you know, perhaps bacteria can grow, you know, there's not a lot of movement there, and it can cause problems. And then combined with the inflammation and the scarring, it can create what they call strictures, which is a narrowing of the intestine. And over time, you see this, you know, you can see this get worse and worse and worse until, like in my case, it just completely blocked up and there was no movement. And you're right, you'd think someone would gain weight. You often see people with really distended bellies when they're very, very sick. In my book, I describe my belly when I was I had to go into the emergency room and eventually have surgery. But my belly was about the size of a basketball.
Wow.
It was awful. I felt like, you know, I felt like I was pregnant. I had already had three children, and that's really what it looked like. So it was, I remember lying on the gurney, and my bowel was making these awful noises, like rumbling. A lot of the doctors, the residents, Dartmouth Hitchcock is a teaching hospital, and they come by with their stethoscopes, a lot of the fellows and the residents, because they wanted to listen. But I mean, it's actually called Borborygmus, which is one of those great onomatopoeia, you know, type of Borborygmus. I think that's how you pronounce it, but it sounds like what it is, which is loud bowel noises. And again, this lack of movement, I think everything just got clogged, literally clogged. Wow. And I remember, you know, just that feeling of blockage. And now I do a lot of yoga and meditation every day. Every morning I have a routine. And, you know, especially with yoga, I do very simple, gentle, flowing type of a vinyasana yoga. And the twisting really helps the bowel. I'm convinced that gentle movement is really beneficial for the body. And I do a lot of more holistic care. And I'm really excited about it. And I'm trying to, you know, get people to embrace this kind of the holistic and in some cases ancient and what they call Ayurvedic techniques, such as acupuncture and yoga, are really wonderful. These lifestyle changes that can give you better digestive health and overall wellness.
Fascinating story and a difficult topic. Let's take a break, everybody. We'll be right back with some tips and advice to carry us forward. Back in a second.
Thank you.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
Looking for an affiliate network that can package every solution an advertiser or publisher needs in one account? Your one-stop source for full-service solutions is AdMedia.com. AdMedia delivers an incredible lineup of specialized XML feeds for local, social, and search, plus the advertising arsenal of PPC, SEM, contextual, display, and more. AdMedia gives your campaign real visibility, from emailers to domain redirects. AdMedia tailors your all-in-one campaign to give your account a real advantage. AdMedia.com delivers cost-effective ad solutions with real conversions. Learn everything AdMedia can do for you today. Sign up at AdMedia.com. AdMedia, strong ROI made simple.
Think about it. You work so hard with your existing clients. How much time do you have every day to recruit more clients, expand your business, and add more value to your service? Let WebmasterRadio.fm do the work for you. We're the premier business-to-business on-air and on-demand podcast network with shows like SEO Rockstars, SEO 101, and SEM Synergy. We can tailor an ad campaign that includes 30 seconds every hour and a 30-minute special every month. Plus the banner ads and links you need to reach our built-in audience and our legions of loyal listeners and podcasters. What you charge in hours for service is all it takes to get started on the fast lane to growing your business. Contact sales at webmasterradio.fm for consultation today.
If you're looking for a new multifaceted SEO and social media toolset, look for the Raven. Raven has the important tools that every internet marketer needs. Raven offers customized metrics for managing link building campaigns, social media campaigns, with campaign reporting and research tools that you can easily manage. Build up campaign performance for your clients and give your team the tools that will make them soar. If you want to increase your internet marketing revenue, look for the Raven. Go to RavenTools.com. That's RavenTools.com.
Rock the world with LinkedIn. Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Internet Marketing Channel. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
I'm waiting for my phone to stop ringing here. This is my first... I've got to put my do not disturb on my main phone. Fascinating. Great. Back, everyone. Welcome back, Dee Dee.
Oh, thanks. It's great to be here.
Really appreciate you taking on this topic and publishing a book and being on our show. Thanks again. So I wanted to ask you to dive into some tips that we could take away with us and with regards to, of course, tips on diagnosis, if you have any, or precursors to avoiding this severe problems that you went through.
Yes.
Love to hear some tips and advice from you.
Good. Okay. Well, I prepared seven tips, ways to better digestive health and wellness, which I will share with you. Before I talk about those, I think it's really one thing I would love to impart and hopefully, you know, leave with the listeners is you should really listen to your body, and keeping a food journal is just a wonderful thing to do. And really try to drink a lot of water and get a lot of rest and a lot of exercise. And I'll talk a little more about the tips, but I think listening to your body and also getting help when you need it. I think particularly for women, it's really hard to ask. Well, I think it just depends on your personality. But in my case, it was really hard to ask for help. And don't wait too long. You know, I used all these excuses. And I leaned on, like, my cigarette habit was really bad. But smoking a cigarette was just my way of sort of communicating. I don't know why I did it. I think it made me feel less lonely. And so getting psychological help or medical help and having checkups and really trying to stay on top of symptoms before they get too long. I remember I had been throwing up all weekend long, and I called my GI doctor, Dr. Jeff Potash, here in Brattleboro, Vermont, where I live. He's great. And I called him Monday morning and I said, "Dr. Potash, I've been throwing up all weekend. I'm so weak." And he paused and he said, next time, don't wait 3 days before you call me. You know, he said, you need to go to the ER and get fluids. So again, really listening to your body is very important. And then I just have some basic tips that I prepared. The first one is just improving your diet overall. I'm really into eating a vegetarian diet that's high in fiber and vegetables and fruit. And I also buy local food, and I'm a member of a farm share, which is a great thing to do. And I stay away from processed food and foods with additives, colors, and preservatives. And I don't have, I'm not religious about this, but I avoid sugar as much as possible. No soda. I really took care of that. I also stopped eating wheat 5 years ago, and that's made a big difference for me. You can stop eating a food and see if your symptoms improve, and oftentimes that's one way to tell. Like milk and dairy, some people are lactose intolerant. So watching your diet, keeping a food journal. The second tip would be really embracing on, like say the New Year's coming up, you know, and changing your lifestyle, becoming more aware of, you know, your body. And you can take a drug and you can wait for the symptom to disappear. And in some cases that'll really help, but you need to integrate the whole body treatment and lifestyle changes, and that takes time and sometimes patience, but you'll see hopefully a gradual improvement rather than focusing on one specific problem, but it's more holistic. So lifestyle changes, you can create a routine. I follow a very predictable routine, getting a lot of sleep, going to bed at the same time and getting up at the same time and eating meals at the same time. Think of routines. The third thing that I think is important, and Dr. Black, Jessica Black, my co-author, she helped me with these tips, is to begin an exercise routine. And one, my rule of thumb, Byron, is I try to break a sweat every day. It's kind of simple, but that would be, you know, go to the gym and work out on the treadmill and get your heart rate up and, you know, break a sweat and stretch and cool down. Or I run. So running is great. I also ride my bike to work and home. That's 10 miles round trip. Obviously not now in the winter, but I like to go cross-country skiing. And, you know, I have a varied exercise routine. You could do Pilates. You could go to the gym. But beginning an exercise routine, oftentimes walking is a great way to start. And so that's important. You can get a 1 mile route and then increase it. But I think every single day, maybe one rest day a week is what I usually do. And then taking the supplements, what I call the holistic side of your health, really taking care of you. I like to go to a naturopathic doctor and a Western doctor. So through the naturopath, I had a stool sample done, and they analyzed the stool, and they saw that the bacteria was not balanced there. And they also gave me supplements at the naturopath. My Western doctor found out that my B12 was shot. I had like no B12 left, and my blood work was not very good. And the reason for this is your absorption of is mostly through the small intestine, and I didn't have that. That was missing in my case now, and it was scarred for years. So I wasn't absorbing especially the B vitamins, and that explained why I was so tired and depressed, frankly, because B6, B12, these are very important vitamins. And so it's important to get your blood work checked, your stool samples checked. Also, I went to a psychotherapist for about 7 years, and he's been wonderful. Once a month, I barter with a massage therapist. I also get acupuncture once a month. And that costs about $55 for a session. And it's expensive, but I really budget for this. And I don't buy, like, a lot of clothes. You know what I mean? I've prioritized my spending. So I buy secondhand clothes. The fifth tip is to increase laughter in your life and also breath. And I like to laugh and joke around and not take myself too seriously. And, you know, It's really important. I mean, laughter, I think they've done some research in Japan, and they found that laughter actually reduced the inflammation of rheumatoid arthritis patients, like daily laughter. And, you know, you can socialize with friends or join a support group. I talk to my mother every day and I get her laughing. We have a good, you know, so that's important. And so that includes social life too. It's important. Like I go hiking with a couple of friends on the weekends. And then increasing your body awareness. This is keeping a journal, but also recording other symptoms, like when did you have diarrhea? Oh, you had a fight with your husband or your wife, and you had stress in your life, and you had diarrhea. Or other things like neck pain or back pain, and listening to your body. And then last but not least is the yoga and the meditation that I mentioned earlier. It's just a great... I have a DVD, Rodney Yee. I love this DVD, and I do it every morning. It's called AM Yoga by Rodney Yee. I really recommend that.
These are just fantastic tips, not only related, of course, to your the diseases we've talked about today, but in general to life. You've opened up your life to us, and in so doing, you've opened our eyes to some of these challenges. How do you want people to get a hold of you?
How can
they find your book?
Oh, how nice. Oh, well, I do have a website. Jessica Black and I have a website called Living with Crohn's and Colitis Book.com. Mm-hmm. And our book is available at all the local bookstores. If it's not there, they can get it from Random House. It's, you know, what I call the bricks and mortar stores, you know, the independent booksellers. We have three bookstores in our town, and all three of them carry my book, and they tell me it's one of their best sellers.
Yay, wow, yeah, that's great.
You know, who knew a book on digestive disease? But I'm so pleased because nurses and doctors are starting to use it. I've noticed it's been picked up in some medical schools because they want the doctors to get a patient perspective and learn to be better doctors. I divided the book up sort of to have a real patient voice. And every time my patient voice is on a page, there's a gray box behind it. You can also get our book, obviously, on Amazon. And it's done consistently well on Amazon. So it's called, if you Google Living with Crohn's and Colitis book, it's the first up, comes right up. And our website also has a blog that is on a WordPress blog, and I'm starting to work on that. We, of course, have a Facebook page, Living with Crohn's and Colitis book. And last but not least, I'm really an active, tweeter. I have a Twitter account that's called twitter.com/Crohn's book, CROHNSBOOK. That's an easy way to find me on Twitter.
Well, again, you're an inspiration to all to take on these challenges, talk about them so publicly, and to really dig into these issues. So thanks so much for being a guest on the show today.
I really appreciate being here, and I hope the book and the show helps people. Thank you.
Indeed. Our mission is, as everybody knows, is to make life a little smarter, better, faster, and wiser. And I think we've done that today. So thanks again, everyone, for listening in. We'll see you next week on the show. Thanks very much.